because he didn't want to give any kind of impression that he was, you know, tipping the scale in any kind of way, interfering in any kind of way in the justice system.
So that was Mary Bruce from ABC, and you had Lindsey Davis yesterday late announcing that President Biden has issued a blanket pardon for the last 10 years for his son, Hunter Biden. You may have remember that he was charged with drug and gun violations because he didn't disclose that he was an addict and therefore not supposed to have a gun. And then, you know, these charges were basically agreed away on a plea agreement that wound up getting nixed when it came to light that he was getting what seemed like a sweetheart deal. And then they went back to prosecution, and then he was found guilty, and he's been waiting for sentencing, and the possible length of this thing was going to be, you know, into the decades long of a prison term. And so Biden comes out yesterday and says, I'm going to totally pardon him for not just this, but anything else that he might have done in the last 10 years.
You look at the statement that he put out tonight. He is making it clear what he really thinks of all of this, that this has been simply an effort to go after him politically. He says, in trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me, saying there's no reason to believe it will stop here. He says bluntly, enough is enough. And he says that the truth here, he believes, is that even though he's wrestled with this, he says he believes raw politics has infected this process, and it has led to a miscarriage of justice. A remarkable about-face from President Biden.
And it is a remarkable reversal from President Biden, because he has recently and prior to that specifically said that he would not ever, ever, ever pardon. This was from June of 23.
I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. He has overcome an addiction. He's one of the brightest, most decent men I know. And I am satisfied that I'm not going to do anything. I said I abide by the jury decision, and I will do that. And I will not pardon him.
I will abide by the jury decision, and I will not pardon him. That's June of last year, July of last year.
Lots changed since yesterday, and it's a personal matter. But from a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
I just said no. I just said no. Corinne Jean-Pierre absolutely saying no. It's not going to happen. June of this year.
We sit here in Normandy. Your son Hunter is on trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution. But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
In case it wasn't clear, Corinne Jean-Pierre from July of this year.
The president would not pardon or commute sentences for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
No, 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 pardon, no, no, no. But yes, actually, the answer is yes, actually, yesterday. So here's what he says. Today I signed a pardon for my son Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision making, and I kept my word. Well, even as I have watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Keeping your word for a while is not the same as keeping your word. So you don't get to brag about how, like, boy, I waited a long time for this pardon. And I put up with a lot for the, you know, you don't, you either break your word or you keep your word. It's no, like, well, I was faithful to you for 10 years. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, he goes on, without aggravating factors like use in a crime, multiple purchases, or buying a weapon as a straw purchaser, people are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely for how they filled out a gun form. That's true, by the way. He's accurate. I don't think there's any chance in the whole wide world that President Biden wrote this. This was written for him by lawyers. He did not write this. It's not AI, but it's not Biden. Because I know what he sounds like, and he doesn't talk like this. Those who were late paying their taxes because of serious addictions but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties are typically given non-criminal resolutions. It is clear that Hunter was treated differently. The charges in his cases came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. Then a carefully negotiated plea deal agreed to by the Department of Justice unveiled in the courtroom with a number of my political opponents in Congress taking credit for bringing political pressure on the process. Had the plea deal held, it would have been a fair, reasonable resolution of Hunter's cases. No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son, and that is wrong. There has been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. In trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me, and there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. For my entire career, I have followed a simple principle. Just tell the American people the truth. They'll be fair-minded. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process, and it led to a miscarriage of justice. And once I made this decision this weekend, there was no sense in delaying it further. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision. And then the pardon specifics, a full and unconditional pardon for those offenses against the United States, which he has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1, 2014 through December 1, 2024, including but not limited to all offenses charged or prosecuted in this particular case. So I think the easy perspective on this, the one that most conservatives are likely to have, most Republicans are likely to have, is how dare he? What a hypocrite. This is an abuse of justice. This is, you know, using his presidential pardon power for his own son's benefit. That seems like a contrast to everything that the president has ever stood for. And I agree with that perspective. There's truth in that, but I don't think that's all the truth. I think there's, and he definitely, he went against his own promise many, many times. You can't say that he's the guy that's going to stand up for law and order always, and this shows it because now he's completely violated those promises. At the same time, I think there's truth in what he said. I think that the reason this case received the attention that it did and the reason that people are so worked up about this case is precisely because they view Hunter Biden as a proxy for Joe Biden, and they're angry about the laptop story getting spiked, and they're angry about corruption and Burisma, and they're angry about Joe Biden using his power as the vice president to do all kinds of things in Ukraine long before there was a Ukraine-Russian war. And they're furious about the deal that was struck because it seemed too generous to Hunter Biden. And he's right. This has had a political prosecution element to it. If Hunter Biden was anybody else, nobody'd care. You might say the reason people care is because they want to see even the president's son get his appropriate prosecution, and understand that. But I think if we're honest, the reason that we want this, the reason this feels so wrong, is precisely because we've wanted to get him for all the things I mentioned, particularly all of the stuff surrounding the laptop. And because there's a feeling like the justice system has been so heavily biased against President Trump. And you have technicalities being turned into felonies, being turned into headlines, being turned into a never-ending war against the president in his effort to become president again. In all the cases, but specifically in the hush money case, but across the board, at every level, it seems like the justice system has been abused against President Trump. And those all feel wrong, you know. So this is just another example of that, or this is a way to push back against all of that. Here's my view. I believe that the justice system has been abused against President Trump. I also believe that in this case, the justice system is probably being too heavy-handed with Hunter Biden. Now, does that justify the pardon? No. Does it allow Biden to avoid the charge of being a hypocrite? No. But there's not no truth on his side. There is some truth on his side. And I will flip this in a certain way, which is if you reversed all of these facts and made it about Trump's kid. You know, if one of Trump's kids had been going through all of this, you'd assume he would pardon that kid, wouldn't you? You wouldn't even be surprised. And the reason I mention that, and that, by the way, that doesn't make it okay to pardon him. But the reason I mention that is because you've always got to be consistent. And if you find that you're only on one side of an issue because of it being your friend or being your enemy, you're probably on the wrong side of that issue. So as frustrating as everything surrounding the election and Burisma and Ukraine and corruption that we believe is there but haven't been able to make enough of a case on, everything surrounding the laptop story getting spiked in the social media and the influence that had on the 2020 election, and it absolutely did. In the end, you just have to look at the specific issue of whether this particular very technical crime would get the punishment it deserves or not. And I think it would be too much punishment for similar cases. That being said, pardoning him all the way back to 2014 at kind of the beginning of all the Burisma stuff too, all the Ukraine stuff, I mean, that looks super sketchy. So this is the frustrating thing about truth, is you want it to be a neat, simple package. You want it to be they're bad, we're good, end of story, go home. It's not that simple in this case. And I think a lot of your analysis that you're going to get from conservatives over, you know, today and tomorrow is going to be very shallow. And a lot of your, you know, super outraged, what a hypocrite. And that's fair. But the other side, the Democrats who are going to say that, you know, this is getting overpunished, there's truth in it being or looking political, they're not totally wrong either. Well, Andrew, that's not a very satisfying analysis. Okay. Sorry. That's where I'm at on the basis of everything that we know at this point. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's kind of like, who's responsible for the Michigan-Ohio State fight? Yes. Yes. Should you go over-celebrate at center field? At the 50-yard line? No, probably not. Does that mean you get to start a fight? No, definitely not. Should pepper spray have been used? Good Lord, who knows? It's probably not a good thing for pepper spray getting deployed on college football players and journalists trying to cover the college football player fight in the middle of one of the big rivalry games of the year in which Michigan embarrassed Ohio State University. I mean, you know, so truth can sometimes be a little bit complicated and nuanced. 523 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, their U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
This is Hill Kelly Dodge wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
Hi, this is Joe with Peden Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical wishing you a very comfortable holiday season.
This is Barry Cole at Beret Jewelers wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
Hi, everybody. This is Sonia Duca with Trinity Wellness of Pensacola and now in Pace. And we just want to wish you a very happy holiday. And we're just thinking of all of you. Bye. Happy holidays.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Told you I should have stopped to the tracks.
Is it me, or are you the world's biggest...
Good morning, 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines on this cold, December morning. That's my adjective for the day,
Well, that's a good adjective. It's very descriptive.
Thank you.
And it works. It is it is burr out there today. Well, we are starting to see some estimated numbers from Black Friday shopping, Andrew. Adobe Analytics is estimating that U.S. shoppers spent about $10.8 billion on Friday. That's, they say, up around 10% from last year. Today, of course, is Cyber Monday.
I heard yesterday it was 3%. Okay, all right.
Well, according to Adobe, anyhow, I got you. It's around 10%, but that's an estimated number from them. Today's Cyber Monday, and Adobe is saying that they believe that shoppers could spend upwards of $13 billion today.
No, come on, say it the right way.
$13 billion.
Thank you. So satisfying.
Closing arguments are expected today in the New York City subway chokehold trial. Former Marine Daniel Penny is charged with manslaughter and negligent homicide. That's for the 2023 death of a homeless man on the New York City subway system. Jordan Neely died after Penny put him in a chokehold. Neely was allegedly acting erratically in the subway car. Penny's lawyers have said their client was trying to keep other people on the subway safe. Prosecutors believe that his actions were a bit too much. And two comedy greats are uniting off of the big screen. Eddie Murphy's son and Martin Lawrence's daughter got engaged over the Thanksgiving holiday. The couple made a joint announcement on Instagram over the weekend.
What happens if that kid's not funny?
You know, the problem is, could you ever be as funny as your
grandparents?
Comedy great?
Right. Yeah. It's, what an awful legacy to have to live up to. You know, kid's probably going to be like, I don't know, some street performer or something. You know, like, and not comedy, like juggling.
Like a mime.
I guess it's comedy. Like a mime?
Yeah. Then nobody would ever know you're not
funny.
He'll
be like a civil engineer, you know, or an accountant. And people will wonder what happened. And you'll say, well, you know, I just couldn't hack the pressure, so I had to come and do this. And they're really good with numbers, and they build bridges. So it'll work out.
That's true. Yeah, we need them.
Yeah, we do.
We need the engineers.
David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Very interesting development in the military arena. And this is, you remember the Zumwalt class destroyers? Those are those super weird-looking, like, stealth, angular. I don't know how to describe it. It looks like a prop out of some futuristic movie from the 70s. Like if Logan's Run was tasked with building a destroyer, they'd build this. They're very, very weird looking. Massively expensive project. They only wound up building three of them and just total boondoggle. Really wound up being this almost complete waste of money. And not quite yet. We are now repurposing them. The Zumwalt, which we saw when we were in Pascagoula for the commissioning of the McCool, and also when it was, well, not so much for the commissioning, but for before that, when we got to tour the ship, I thought it was the Zumwalt, but I wasn't sure because there's three of them. It's hard to tell at a distance. And it was kind of like a don't take pictures of that kind of thing. But it was in dry dock there. Well, now we're finding out why. They're fitting it to hold hypersonic weapons. They basically looked around the garage and they decided, what do we have that can put these on the water? Oh, the Zumwalt is big. Let's make those into the platform for hypersonic weapons. And they're basically in the phase now of retrofitting them for that. Things that'll go, you know, +5 Mach, attack quickly. It's a very complicated system. I don't really understand exactly what's involved in it all, but it would launch a ballistic missile and then a hypersonic glide vehicle that would travel at speed 7 to 8 times faster than the speed of sound before being on target. And this is, you know, long distances away. Joint development by the Navy and the Army for this. And each of the Zumwalt class destroyers, all three of them, would be equipped with 4 missile tubes, each with 3 of the missiles for a total of 12 hypersonic weapons per ship is kind of the idea. Cost? $7.5 billion in choosing the Zumwalt. They're obviously hoping to rescue that cost from the original cost of the Zumwalt. Each one is going to cost somewhere in the vicinity of $1 million. And it doesn't remember, the hypersonics aren't necessarily explosive. It's more like almost like railgun kind of stuff where the impact of the device going so fast, you know, if you throw a big anvil at somebody, it makes a big explosion even if it doesn't actually explode. So that's kind of where we're at with this. Testing is supposed to begin in 2027 or 2028, so we're a ways off from this actually taking place. $18 billion to buy 300 of the weapons and maintain them for 20 years. So an aircraft carrier and a half's worth of weaponry. Why? Because we're worried about the hypersonic gap. That's where we're at. We're worried about the hypersonic gap with the Russians and maybe theoretically the Chinese.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden pardons his son Hunter Biden for his criminal convictions on tax and gun charges, even though he was on record saying he would not make that decision.
The president says, from the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision making, and I kept my word even as I've watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process and it led to a miscarriage of justice.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting, President-elect Trump calls it an abuse and miscarriage of justice. Colorado's Democratic Governor Jared Polis said the president put his family ahead of the country. The IDF announcing the death of a 21-year-old U.S.-born Israeli soldier from New York who was abducted and killed by Hamas on October 7th of 2023. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. It is a cold start this morning, 41 degrees, clear skies in Pensacola. After recovering two bodies from a missing shrimping boat over the weekend, the Coast Guard has now suspended its search for a 7-year-old boy that was also on board the Mardi Ann. Officials say that boat was last seen shrimping in Pelican Bay. Crews located a debris field and two bodies over the weekend. The found boaters were identified as 40-year-old Semmes Middle School teacher Michael Slezak and 69-year-old Sam Woolley. Officials say they believe the search may need to move west towards Mississippi if it resumes. Deputies in Santa Rosa County are investigating a shooting. It happened on Sid Hayes Road Saturday. Deputies say they responded to a reported disturbance where they found one victim with a gunshot wound. That victim is reportedly in stable condition with non-life-threatening injuries. Investigators are working to identify a suspect in the case. If you have any information, contact the sheriff's office or you can call Crime Stoppers if you would like to remain anonymous. A 51-year-old man has been arrested on an armed robbery charge from at a convenience store in Mary Esther on Saturday. Okaloosa County deputies say they responded to the All-American Quick Stop that afternoon when a clerk had reported that a man entered the store and held a knife to their throat while demanding money. The suspect fled the scene with an undisclosed amount of cash. Surveillance footage showed the suspect's vehicle, which was located later that day in Fort Walton Beach. Deputies say they identified the suspect as David Michael Stevens. He was arrested after a foot chase. He's now charged with armed robbery and other felony charges as well. Stevens is currently being held with no bond at the Okaloosa County Jail. Well, Donald Trump responding to President Biden's surprise pardon for Hunter Biden on Sunday. In a Truth Social post, Trump asked if the pardon includes what he calls the, quote, January 6th hostages who have now been imprisoned for years, end quote. He called it an abuse and a miscarriage of justice. Biden said in a statement on Sunday that no reasonable person who looked at the facts in his cases can reach a conclusion that Hunter wasn't singled out because he is his son. He says that there was an effort to break Hunter, which in turn meant trying to break him. This news comes as President Biden previously said he would not pardon Hunter Biden. A local DEA official is expecting Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Chronister to have a big impact on the agency. President-elect Trump announced on Saturday he'd selected Chronister to run the Drug Enforcement Administration. Mike Ferguson is assistant special agent in charge of the DEA's Tampa office. He wrote on LinkedIn yesterday that the appointment of Chronister to lead the DEA will be transformative. It's 5:34 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
It is a very chilly start to the day with temperatures in the 30s, warming up as you head into the afternoon, high near 64 degrees with some sunny skies. Overnight tonight, dropping back into the 30s, 39 degrees as you wake up Tuesday morning. For Tuesday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 57, and Tuesday night temperatures dropping near 42. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, it is a cold start this morning. We've got 41 degrees this morning in Pensacola. It is 40 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 37 reported in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, the holiday shopping season unofficially begins today as it's Black Friday. Tomorrow is Small Business Saturday, and Monday, of course, is Cyber Monday. Consumers are expected to shell out record amounts on gifts this year, but at the same time, they're also being a bit more cautious about their spending. Analysts say that while inflation is easing a bit, consumers still continue to spend cautiously on non-essentials and continue to hunt for deals. Meanwhile, a Gallup survey says that Americans are expected to spend over $1,000 this year on gifts. That's up from $975 last year. Back in 2019, consumers were expected to spend around $846. And electric vehicle maker Tesla is facing a fine from the federal government. The company was fined several $1,000s for a pair of violations at its Texas Gigafactory. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration says it's fining the company for the violations, which involve hazardous exposure to employees. Tesla has been under inspection by OSHA since July.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Tonight, we light the Hanukkah candles from left to right.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and as I light my Hanukkah menorah, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah. Also, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. From all of us at News Radio 92.3.
From all of us to all of you, Happy Hanukkah. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
First and goal. King into the end zone. Sting him. Second one. Receiver screen. Love it. And that's a first down. Ball came out at the end there. The ball came out at the end there. And it's a fumble recovery. Georgia Tech. King. Pressure. Stays alive. Jamal Haynes reaching.
This game on Friday was crazy. This was the best game of the year so far. This was, I mean, I almost feel sad for people who didn't watch this game. And also, I feel sad for the Georgia fans who left. Georgia fans were leaving in this game because their team was doing so poorly. It was 17-0 at this point, and Haynes King, the quarterback for Georgia Tech, unranked Georgia Tech, playing Georgia, ranked number 7, was I mean, he's a tank. I don't know what to say. He's an amazing rusher. And he had this one play. It was on 2nd and 9, and he runs into like four guys. He's like, oh, because I'm a quick fast forward. I will fast forward quickly when I think a play is over. And I fast forward. I'm like, wait, how'd that be a first down? And he just ran through three Georgia players and got around him and then kept on going and ran for the first down and turned that into another touchdown.
2nd and 5. King to run it with a big block straight ahead. Haynes King, touchdown.
So that made it 20. It had been 17-6, then it was 27-13. This is Georgia Tech on top, okay? And this is in the fourth quarter. So with 5 minutes to go, Georgia Tech is up by 14. And then Carson Beck.
Counting down, 2nd and 4. Beck to the end zone. Touchdown, Georgia. Dominic Lovett.
Good play.
Not done yet.
Good play. All right, that's fine. Down by 7, 3.5 minutes to go. At the two-minute mark, Georgia Tech has the ball, and it looks like it's just all over. It looks like they're just going to keep doing their thing. They're going to run. They're going to run out the clock. They might score. They might not score, but they're up 7, right?
King on his own. Where are they going to mark this? His forward progress looks like he got it. Georgia comes away with the football. Georgia comes away with the football, and they got it. Dan Jackson has the football.
It was on the ground, and nobody knew it. Like, it came out of the quarterback's hands late in the play when you thought it was all over, and it just was on the ground in between somebody's legs, and all of a sudden, oh, look what I found. So Georgia recovers, and then they turn that into a touchdown.
1st and goal. Back to the end zone. Touchdown, Georgia. They're an extra point away. Dominic Lovett.
They came all the way back to tie it. So now the rules for overtime in the NCAA are, when we used to just play football games, right? You used to just play football games, and then you'd get to the end, and they just kept playing. And then nobody really wanted that anymore. So everybody's got different rules. In the college, the way it works is each side gets to score. They get a possession. And if at the end of that possession they're tied, then you get another possession. But on that one, if you get a touchdown, you have to go for a two-point conversion. After that, if they're tied, what you basically do is penalty kicks. You do the football version of penalty kicks. You get a two-point. Everybody goes back and forth for two-point conversion, alternating who goes first. And then whoever blinks first, the other side wins. Okay, so they go into overtime. And in the first overtime, Georgia with the ball first.
Looks his way. Pumps. Now to the end zone. And into the end zone is Humphreys. Touchdown, Dawgs.
Georgia scores first. Good. They get the kick. They're good. They're up 7. It's 34-27. So Georgia Tech with the ball.
Haynes King to pass. And they've got it. Eric Singleton, touchdown.
So 34-34. Okay, now Georgia Tech gets the ball. Remember, this is where if they score a touchdown, they got to do two-point conversion.
Haynes King is going to get in.
That's the quarterback.
Georgia Tech retakes the lead here in the second overtime.
Up by 6, they do not get the two-point conversion. Georgia with the ball. Got to score a touchdown.
Second overtime now, offensive possession, Georgia. Carson back to pass. Late pressure, lofts it, and into the end zone is Cass Jones.
40-40. And they fail on the two-point conversion. Then, in the third overtime, Georgia incomplete. Then Georgia Tech incomplete. In the fourth overtime, like it's one of these just unbelievable kind of back and forth things that just never quite seems to get, and again, Georgia fans had left. Georgia fans gave up. The commentators were even talking about how these Georgia fans, they didn't even stick around. So third overtime, fail. Fourth overtime, fail. Fifth overtime, Georgia with the ball.
Empty set as Cash Jones is split out to the near side for Carson Beck. Fifth overtime, two-point conversion attempt. Edge pressure, they pick it up, and they get the two-pointer with Dylan Bell.
So Georgia Tech has to get a two-point conversion in order to tie it at 42.
Or will Georgia Tech have a little more magic left to tie the game in 6 overtimes? They do it! Malik Rutherford!
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tied. And so they go into the sixth one. And Arian Smith drops the ball. The best receiver for Georgia drops the ball. And then Georgia Tech has an incomplete. So they go into the eighth overtime. The eighth overtime. And and then there was a seventh and nothing. And then the eighth overtime. And Georgia Tech, incomplete. And then Georgia.
To make the college football playoff. Frazier straight ahead and straight in. Oh, it's great in eighth. Georgia wins it.
My DVR gave out. I think I had 90 minutes. Because it like the default is 60 and I always put it at 90 just in case. And even I think at 90 it was not enough. That was an amazing game. Now, John, did you watch that game? Did you watch Georgia Tech on Friday? Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good game.
It was.
Pretty entertaining game. If you're a Georgia Tech fan.
I'm sorry.
I know you totally deserve to win this game. Oh, man. But that's football. Meanwhile, on Friday, you had Mississippi State played some team. Who did they play?
I'm here to play for Lane Kiffin, knowing how he develops quarterbacks. And they keep it on the ground. And here's Yosis Bentley. Here he goes. Bentley straight down the middle of the field. From the doghouse to the end zone. An 89-yard sprint.
89 yards for Ulysses Bentley for Ole Miss. Gets a touchdown. They had another amazing catch from Jackson Dart, who's phenomenal. He is fun to watch. He passed Eli Manning's numbers, right?
Oh, I know.
They had a message crazy from Eli Manning. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And so he passes his numbers, and they pick up this falling back out of the end zone, bobbling kind of catch that they managed to win the game. But I will say this. I can say it. John, you're an Ole Miss fan.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Ole Miss trying to make the case that they should be in the playoff. You know, they're a marginal team, right, for this. And, you know, Ole Miss had three turnovers that they turned into 6 points total, two field goals.
I know.
And they got gifted a crazy catch. Truly, it's a great, amazing catch. And the 89-yard run. Otherwise, they would have lost this game. Then again, Georgia, you know. What do you say about Georgia? Wow. You know, they should have probably not won that game either. So now the big news over the weekend in football was not, and I just wanted to feature that because I thought these were such good games, and especially the Georgia Tech game was such a good game. The big news over the weekend was Ohio State, Michigan, and Alabama, Auburn. And Alabama, Auburn was a blowout. I mean, you know, Alabama clearly won. What made it newsworthy was not what happened on the field. What made it newsworthy was what happened off the field when we had
14 zip for Alabama.
The second of two fights.
And Auburn is in a heap of trouble. And it continues. Malcolm Simmons a drop. These playoff rankings brought to you by Capital One.
Pushing.
And now
shoving.
There's a skirmish. We'll get back to this.
Yelling, screaming.
There is a skirmish over behind the
spinning
Auburn sideline. Devontae Smith at the center of it. And he's being led away by Xavier Brown. And now here they go.
I love how somebody finally got a mic into the scrum to get a little bit of the audio. Yeah, there's a huge fight on the sidelines, and only Alabama got penalized for that. I'm not sure that was appropriate. I say this as an Auburn fan. That didn't really lead to anything after that, but that was the second fight of the day. The first fight of the day was the Ohio State-Michigan fight.
I mean, you talk about a gritty performance by a bunch of guys. I mean, I love these dudes. These guys are the heart of our program. This is why you come to Michigan. Right here, guys like this, win this game. 3-0. Let's go, baby. Love you. Talk to him.
That's the coach from Moore. A big upset of Ohio State. And then in the middle of interviewing the next guy.
You know, it's going to be one up front. We pride ourselves on here at Michigan. But, you know, that's what we are. That's what Michigan does.
I think there's something going on over there.
That's what we do first of all. And stuff is.
And folks, what's going on over there?
Something interesting is going on the field right now. Michigan tried to plant their flag in the middle of the Ohio State field. And the Buckeyes rushed right to him.
And this fight, like, started and sort of paused and then started again. And it was bad. Like, pepper spray of the players. Maybe, what would you guess, John? 60 to 100 people involved in this fight?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it was huge.
It was massive in the center of the field. Because what happened is Michigan brought their flag in. And the Ohio State players got all upset that they brought their flag in at the center of the field. And then, you know, that kind of died down. But then they ran around with the flag again. They came back in again and tried to play. I don't know. It was So the commentary afterwards, the clip that everybody has been playing is Khalil Mullings for Michigan.
For such a great game, you hate to see stuff like that after the game. You know, that's just bad for the sport, bad for college football. But at the end of the day, you know, some people gotta learn how to lose, man. You can't be fighting and stuff just because you lost a game. You know, all that fighting, we had 60 minutes, we had four quarters to do all that fighting. And now people want to talk and fight. That's wrong. You know, it's just bad for the game. Classless, in my opinion. You know, and people got to be better.
And then the coach for Ohio State, Ryan Day.
Rifle guys.
Sorry, here we go.
Yeah, I don't know all the details of it, but I know that, you know, these guys, you know, are looking to, you know, put a flag on our field, and our guys weren't going to let that happen. So, you know, I'll find out exactly what happened. But, you know, this is our field, and certainly, you know, we're embarrassed with the fact that we lost the game. But, you know, there's some prideful guys in this team that weren't just going to let that happen.
Ooh, no, no. You don't get to defend your guys starting a fight, even though the other side was a little bit rude. That doesn't, it's our field. Well, you had 60 minutes to defend that field, and you did not do it. So, yeah, $100,000 fine for both sides. And we go home, which $100,000 mean anything to either of these universities? No, that's like a $3 fine for you. That's just, and all the coverage and all of the unearned, you know, the earned media and whatever. So it was an interesting day. It's going to be interesting to see what comes up for championship weekend. And obviously there's a couple of teams, including Alabama and Ole Miss, that are, what, right now on the outside. Both are on the outside of the 12 playoffs.
Both are on the bubble.
But, you know, teams can look bad in championship weekend. And you got some weird ones in there, like SMU. Like, how is SMU in the, that's just so
yeah,
weird.
I didn't understand that one.
Super weird. So we'll see. But yeah, that was the fighting on and off. Well, on and on, I guess, during regulation and not during regulation for the field. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Picoub with Affiliated Insurance. Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st. This year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get personalized support from an appointed Florida Blue agent. Our agents are trained to help you find a health plan that fits your lifestyle and budget, not theirs. It's about finding the right plan for you and not the price. Call 850-477-5840 to schedule an appointment with your Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing holiday hours, Atlas Beverage Class, fall and winter menus at Jackson's Steakhouse and Angelina's. Deck the halls at Jackson's New Year's Eve and celebrate 12th night at Jackson's Great Southern Restaurant Week.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
The Durango 95 purred away real horror show. A nice, warm, vibratey feeling all through your gutty woods.
Yes, so. Interesting. Somebody texted me and said that the Florida State had a fight, too. Apparently. I did not watch that game because why would I bother? I'm not an FSU fan. I'm not a Florida fan. Neither of them is in contention for anything. It seemed like out of all the very good games over the weekend, that would be the most boring game. But apparently there was a fight after the flag plant when the Gators won. So 3 for 3 on rivalry. It's more likely at rivalry weekend, but, you know, which is a hard thing to say, by the way. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Supreme Court is hearing two big cases this week that could have an impact on teenagers and families. Today, the court will be hearing arguments over the FDA rejecting the sale of flavored tobacco products, which have been popular among teenagers. Then Wednesday, the court will examine whether Tennessee's ban on transgender treatment for minors is a violation of the 14th Amendment. Over 170 environmental nonprofits are calling on the Environmental Protection Agency to begin tracking microplastics in drinking water. The group filing a petition asking the EPA to add the tracking of microplastics in drinking water to the Safe Drinking Water Act in 2026. And apparently Costco is not going to be selling books anymore. They're stopping book sales at most of their stores starting next month.
How will I ever find a book again?
Thrift stores. Yeah. Thrift stores,
you know,
is the answer.
I do worry that we're approaching a future in which you just don't have books because everything goes digital.
Well, and then the problem is everything goes subscription-based, mm-hmm. and you don't have...
You don't even own the
thing. You don't have anything.
Right, yeah. No, and I'm a huge book, like, in person, in physical. I need to touch it. I hate reading e-books. But I was thinking about that the other day, how all of these big used books... There used to be a huge... used bookstore in St. Louis that just kind of went away, you know, and all of these, they're still around. Okay, it's not that there aren't books,
right.
And there are still even, you know, new bookstores, but compared to the way it used to be, it's really a dwindling arena. And, you know, the libraries have some books, but they diminish their collections because they're putting in, you know, AV materials or DVDs or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And man, it's almost like, you know, I grew up, you know, watching like or reading and watching Fahrenheit 451, you know, where they come and they burn all the books. And the only way to remember the books is if you memorize them. And it's almost like we're going there without doing it. It's like, so yeah, it's sad, really. But
going to the bookstore almost, it used to be such a fun thing.
I know, a big production, right? And now a bookstore is like a ghost town.
You could go and who knows what you'd find. You'd look on all the shelves. Look at this book I found.
David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It is Cyber Monday today, and if you get into that. Are you a Cyber Monday person?
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I don't understand it at all. I just, the idea of getting excited about going online to buy things, those words all make no sense to me.
But there's no people. You don't have to deal with the people.
This is going
to
be our frivolous topic of the day, by the way. We're going to talk about online shopping versus in-person shopping. But the BBB, the Better Business Bureau, says, be careful about the scams today. Be careful about that too-good-to-be-true email on the Cyber Monday deal at pick your retail location, because that's a very, very seductive way to wind up getting fished. So... click here to get your 38% off, whatever. Go to the website. Mm-hmm. Go to the website.
Go to the website. Yep.
Now, I kind of want to tell you that if you hover over the link and it gives you a wonky-looking address, then you know better, and if it gives you the right-looking address. But even there, it
can still be spoofed.
Yeah, it can still be spoofed, or it can be very easy to go to bestbay.com.
Yep.
You know, and you don't notice that it's a misspelling or something like that. So just don't, you know, go to the regular website. You know, that's the only, and even that, I mean, you can run it, but generally speaking, that's going to be okay. As long as it's got the little locky symbol up in the corner, right? You're going to be okay. But be careful on your Cyber Monday. You don't want to overpay on a good deal that isn't a good deal. Local.